cliffcentral.com. 360 Biz on cliffcentral.com.
It is the 360biz.com. My name is Debo Mafodi. Welcome to another exciting installment of 360 Biz right here on Cliff Central. It is a beautiful Wednesday. This is a show that brings you all things business, where we bring in industry champions, we bring in leaders, we bring in movers and shakers. However, today I must say I've brought in game changers, but we're going to hear as to why are they called game changers. So it's something that definitely we're going to be definitely discussing today. But we're not discussing game changers. Sorry, I was looking at Palisa. Palisa is busy disturbing me. No, I'm kidding. So, but however, we're discussing business simulation. I mean, you know that in this show, we definitely talk about all things business. But this is one topic that we've never really conversed, being business simulation. What is business simulation? And why do SMEs need simulation? And what are the benefits? But of course, in studio, I'm supposed to be sitting next to Bulelani. I don't know, maybe he's still on his way, or definitely he's not coming. You know, business people, they don't become late. However, they become delayed. Let me take this opportunity to welcome our guests in studio. We are. It's pretty packed. We've got others sitting at the couches. I wish I had what do they call live video call, so that you guys can actually see. But we'll try definitely to post them on social media so that you see them. Yeah, I know you can see that these people are in the fashion, are in the business of fashion, or the business of looking good. But however, I've got a brother and a friend that is sitting here next to me. I've had an opportunity of having a meeting with him after I've actually seen him. We work for the same broadcaster, but I've never met him. I'm like, no, man, I need to meet this man. And I definitely had to put effort to definitely getting here. I'm talking about none other than Brian Simelane. You'll get an opportunity to hear from him. I've got the woman with the most complicated business. but she is definitely a darling, a girl all the way from Pretoria. But you know what? You know, we're Joe Biggers. So, you know, we just take these people and we make them fit in. That is definitely Miss Anita Black. Maybe let me take this opportunity to welcome them while we're actually waiting to connect to Sazini, because I actually wanted to be the first person that we actually have on our discussion. Anita, do you want to take this opportunity to say hi to our listeners? Tell us who you are and what is it that you do.
Hi, I am Anita Black. I own a company called Corporate Holdings, which has several arms within it.
Okay.
The one that I really take pride in is Corporate Biltong.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was a columnist, I think, 2 years ago, and then I decided to resign and start my business. Started with Biltong. Have been running the shop now for almost a year. To a point where we are growing, we're getting into producing now, and possibly in a different province.
Okay, but now, you know, it's something that for me, I mean, I find confusing to say, how did you move from being, you know what, we'll get to that point, or being a columnist to working with Biltong, you know? Brian, do you want to quickly take this opportunity to say hi to our listeners? Tell us who you are, what is it that you do?
Hi, thanks, Debo, for the opportunity to be here. My name is Brian Simelane. I run a company called Learning Sims, and that's what we do. We really believe everyone can be excellent, and mm-hmm. our job as Learning Sims every day is to share knowledge in a way that allows them to gain experience quickly.
Mm.
And so how we do that is by using business simulations. It could be computer games, board games, any type of an experience that allows you to be able to experience business very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So make a mistake in our business simulation and not in real life.
Yeah.
Lose simulation money and not real money.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what I do every day. So I get to lecture at different places, at different business schools, using these tools.
Oh, okay, definitely. Maxine, take this opportunity to say hi to our listeners. Tell us who you are and what that you do.
Hi. Thanks, Teboho, for having us. Mm-hmm. I'm Maxine, and I'm from FSTV Styles. Yeah. It's a fashion brand. Fashion Scoop is a collaboration between two fashion brand houses. It's Fashion Scoop and Deja Vu how we met. My partner Funi couldn't make it today because she's busy with, as you know, we're having a pop-up store next week.
As you know, who knows?
You know, and the listeners also. Okay, we've advertised it, but I'm going to go through that as we do the interview. Mm-hmm. So it's between Funi and I. And Funi, she does Deja Vu and I'm Fashion Scoop. So we decided to get together. It's just two women empowering one another through fashion. So we specialize in image consulting, personal shopping, events, and makeup artist.
Oh, definitely. No, it's a good introduction there.
All right.
Maybe let me take this opportunity to welcome my good friend, Sean. Sean, do you want to say hi to our listeners? Tell us who you are and what is it that you do?
Listeners, I'm Sean Tiennesen. I'm head of corporate social responsibility for at Growthpoint Properties and also founder of an incubation program, business acceleration program called Property Point. And we're going to be speaking a bit about business today.
Yeah, no, definitely. Welcome, guys. It's good, definitely, to have you in studio. But let me cross over. I'll definitely come back to you guys in studio, all the way to Sazini Mujapilo, who's the group head of Corporate Citizen at Barclays Africa, who couldn't be here today, unfortunately. Let me take this opportunity to welcome her. Ma'am Mujapilo, how are you, ma'am?
I'm well, Deboka. How are you?
No, I'm good, thanks. Do you want to take this opportunity to say hi to our listeners? Tell us who you are and what is it that you do?
Yes, thanks for that. And good afternoon to all the listeners. As Deboko has already mentioned, I am Sazini Mujapilo, and I'm the group head of citizenship. And citizenship is the part of the business that takes care of the work from Barclays Africa, APSA. And it looks after the corporate social investments agenda and the sustainability part of what we do as a business.
No, definitely. Thank you for that. Couple of weeks ago, Sazini, and to the listeners, we've had the opportunity of actually having Ms. Kanye Makubani in studio when we're talking the Gauteng Shared Service, the Gauteng Shared Value Summit, that is actually starting tomorrow. It's actually starting when? Is it tomorrow? It's starting on the 25th and the 26th. Yeah. And I understand that you're one of the speakers at the Gauteng Shared Service, and you're one of the partners. Do you want to perhaps tell us, as corporate or as big as Barclays, what is it that you guys found the need to actually partner for the development of shared service, and what are you going to be particularly talking about personally?
So it's actually tomorrow is the first day, a conference that's running over 2 days, and it's the Africa Shared Value Summit. And it's going to be in Sandton. And as a business, when we decided to partner with them, with the shift development in the summit, it was primarily because of the strategy that we as a business have engaged in, which is our shared growth strategy. And over the last couple of years for us as a business, we've increasingly moved away from a grant-making philanthropic approach to how we engage with our communities and deal with some of the social challenges within our society, but more so towards a business-led strategy that looks at how we can meaningfully, through our business units, make a sustainable contribution to some of the social challenges that we face in our communities. And that ties in very well with the Africa Shared Value Summit, which basically puts forward the theory or the management strategy that says, how do we as a business create shared value and working in partnership with government, civil society to create a meaningful and sustainable contribution in the different markets we operate in. So it's really, really tied into our values and into our shared growth philosophy and strategy as a business.
Big businesses addressing skills shortage and access to quality higher education, long-term positive socio-economic impact on SA and the continent. I must say, Memujapilohor, me being in business, I mean, one of the biggest problems that we face, especially when we're employing young people, as far as education is concerned, it's that inequality that actually takes place between the marketplace and the education itself. So, I mean, is it, do you think that, as corporate, is it something that sticks deep within your values to actually want to improve that for the benefit of the country?
Yes, definitely it does. And I'm glad that you mentioned those areas of focus, because for us as a Barclays Africa APSA, we actually are focused on three areas, and that is access to education, our education and skills portfolio, enterprise development, and financial inclusion. These are the three focus areas that drive our shared growth strategy across Africa. And we basically focused on these areas because we recognize that some of the challenges that are faced by entrepreneurs like yourself and young people is more in line with access to education and also how to grow and start a business. And as a large corporate with our scale, we are able to start meaningfully looking at what we offer and how we can input into our communities. So if I was to take the first one, which is education and skills development, our focus there is primarily looking at how we can help young people access tertiary education, be it at TVET level or at a university level. And our second focus area there is around employability. Employability in the sense that we want to help young people across the continent to access and to develop the relevant skills that would help them get into the world of work. So we have developed a program that is termed Ready to Work, and it's an online free curriculum that supports a young person with work skills, people skills, money management, and entrepreneurship skills, basically helping them to set up themselves for the next phase in their lives as they leave the world of education or basic education and start looking at what tools and skills they need to actually either get into the world of work or start a business. So for that, that's a very key focus for us. The second element you touched on is around enterprise development and how we support small businesses. Obviously, within the financial services space, it's a very key component as we've got our business banking portfolio. But beyond that, we recognize that we need to support the pipeline of small businesses or small enterprises that can grow into our mid corporates or large businesses. And we have therefore created and invested quite significantly within that space to see how we can create a platform for where small businesses can link up with large corporates for them to access markets, but to also grow their businesses. So, for example, one of the things we've done is APSA. We have a portal that has over 59,000 enterprises registered on that portal with the ability to tap into opportunities that are coming from 7,000 corporates. So creating that linkage and facilitating that ecosystem is also important in ensuring that small businesses and small enterprises can grow. Obviously, that work is also supported by a lot of training and capacity building that we provide and an enabling system through our enterprise development centers as well.
No, well, I must say it's definitely good thing that you guys are doing as a company. In fact, you explaining that explains exactly why today I needed to have you in studio today with the guests that I have, specifically Sean and Mr. Brian Smelani. But I'll try to definitely put them in contact with you. I mean, I hope you'll get to listen to the rest of the show to actually hear some of the amazing work that they do that are aligned with definitely what you're doing. And personally, I'm looking forward to meeting you at the summit.
Oh, fantastic. I look forward to meeting you and all the other people that will be joining us there.
Definitely. So I'm hoping that next time maybe I'll get to have you in studio and maybe we dive deep into the technicalities of the offering that you guys are having or that you guys are doing as Barclays and see how could we derive value that we could actually link to enterprises and small businesses out there.
Definitely. I look forward to that.
No, definitely. As in closing, Mr. Majapol, do you want to quickly give us the details for those that want to join the summit? Is there still opening? Is there still access? How can they go about registering for the summit and where is it happening?
The summit is happening in Sandton starting tomorrow. And as I'm sure most of your listeners, if not all, know that tomorrow is Africa Day. So the summit is running on the 25th and the 26th, and it's in Sandton. Unfortunately, I think the registrations have closed. It has been an online registration process. So all the delegates have signed up and all the spaces are filled. There's no open registration at this point. But I'm sure it's an annual summit. Next year we'll be having it again, and we'll make sure it reaches a wider audience.
Okay. No, definitely. Thank you a lot. And that was Ms. Sazini Mujapelo, who is the group head of corporate citizenship at Bartley's, telling us more about the Gauteng, the Africa Shared Summit that is actually happening, Africa Shared Value Summit that is happening at the Sandton Convention Center between the 25th and the 26th. Coming back to my guest here in studio, I mean, today we're talking business simulation. Like I've said, the failure of new and existing South African businesses is a topic that has been discussed and debated years in South Africa and across the continent and the world. I mean, according to a study done by this Minister of Small Business to the 2007 and a subsidiary of Department of Trade and Industry, says, I mean, one of the highest failure rates is of new SMEs. It's definitely something that happens in the world. And it is estimated 75% of these businesses fail. But now, how do we avoid business closure? Well, some of the enterprise turn into business simulation, of which simulations are a highly effective method to teach a variety of topics in business, improve retention, and ultimately change behavior and improve results. I know definitely one of my guests, Sean, I've had an opportunity of actually engaging with him. I know definitely as Property Point, they actually host a range of events that they bring in subject matter experts that, you know, in various fields to actually help improve businesses and talk about, you know, different things and as well some of the programs they run. But anyway, you might be wondering, what is Property Point? Maybe let me take this opportunity to give or hand over to Sean to actually tell us more about Property Point.
Thanks, Deboho. So Property Point is a business support program that we at Growth Point started about 9 years ago. So we've been doing this for quite some time. And the aim was really to say, specifically within the value chain of property, what is the needs that businesses have? Mm-hmm. And how are we able to look at supporting businesses to ensure that our model works on a supply chain diversification and integration methodology, to say that if we're going to be supporting businesses out there, providing them with training. So this was early days with BEE and enterprise development. The codes were saying, you know, just train a business and you get your points. We said, what is the value of training a business? And if you are able to train them, can you incorporate them into your supply chain? Because ultimately, as every business like yourself, mm-hmm. is out there to be able to make business work and make business grow. So that was the infancy stages of Property Point. We've been able to effectively, over the 9 years, really work with substantial businesses, or really small businesses growing themselves into more substantial businesses, providing them with the business development support, access to markets, access to finance through our bankability model, and giving good information out there to small businesses in order for them to grow.
So now, I mean, Property Point is all about skills development for SMEs, if I'm hearing correctly.
Yeah, I think it's about the overall development. And I think what we've done is really gone into the depths of what it means to be able to come alongside someone,
okay,
and develop them as an entrepreneur, as a business, and as an organization as a whole. Yeah. So we've really taken the full package.
So now, I mean, you can see that the studio is packed, or it's full of other entrepreneurs that are as well doing their own thing, you know, SMEs rather. So is your program open to everyone?
So there's two legs to our program. Our incubation program or acceleration program is really much focused for businesses working within the property value chain. And when we say value chain, it means anything that has to do with property. So whether you are a quantity surveyor, an architect, a cleaning company, a maintenance company, anything, if your product and service touches property, we would work with you on our Property Point program. Then we've got another leg to our program called To The Point Sessions. You've come to some of those sessions, mm-hmm. where we provide a platform for experts to come and share with businesses. And this is businesses across the board. So we host those sessions on a monthly basis, every single month at Hyde Park Southern Sun, where we bring experts to the table that will be able to provide you with insight.
No, definitely. It's I must say as well, I mean, having attended some of those, there's been very insightful, because I know that I've came up with one or two networks that I actually met from actually one of the speakers that have been invited there. I mean, one of the things Sean spoke about, he says they invite expect. I'm sitting with an expert in studio, Mr. Brian Smelani, who's the founder of Learning Sims, and who's a business training expert. I know that he works with various universities like University of Stellenbosch, VETS, and many other universities. And I've had the opportunity of seeing him on a show as well, with the same broadcaster that we are on. My show is at Being Business Day TV, doing a show called Pimp My Business. You know, for me, it's something that I still don't understand to this day. What is a lecturer doing on Pimp My Business? I know that I'm a host. So now all of a sudden, there's a lecturer now teaching people how to do business. And I must say, you've done some amazing things on that show.
Thanks, Theo. You know, I always found each class that I would be in, because most of the time I teach entrepreneurs, but through business schools.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, you know, the information that we share at business schools is really valuable, but it's for everyone. Everyone should have this. And I was so lucky that one of the classes I ran, I met a guy called Pesim Keys,
okay,
who was the director of the show. And he introduced me to Ingrid Bell. And they then sold me this idea that, can you imagine if we took some of the concepts from your class,
okay,
and shared it with everyone? And that's how Pimp My Biz came about. Because with Pimp My Biz, we were sharing knowledge that you would normally find in class,
mm-hmm,
but using a powerful medium of TV and entertainment, and people like Anita who volunteered their businesses to be used as case studies, in essence, for other SMEs or other people who want to start business to learn concepts through the show. So that's how I agreed to it. I thought it was a great opportunity to teach a greater audience.
So now, how was it? How was it different, the shift from being now from a lecture room to being in in studio, in cameras? I've already gotten used to putting makeup on. I don't know for you.
I after that show, I have a lot of respect for people in that industry. You don't understand the amount of work that goes into a show like that. Simple things like which shot is going to be taken, what's the sequence of events. I wasn't used to things like makeup. I rock up in class and that's what you find. But within the show, you have to look at the whole thing. But it also allowed me to think differently about the information that you are trying to share.
Okay.
To say, how can we make it more applicable to everyone? So a person on the show, we had people who had a variety of business. Biltong, Nail Bar. We had even a guy who was creating stills and who also wanted to be a musician. But as an educator, I am saying the business knowledge that we are sharing is applicable to all of them. But allow them in the same space to be able to be different. And that was the biggest shift in my mind, at least using the show.
And I've seen, I mean, you've done some amazing things with those businesses. I think it would definitely be a benefit for Sean to have you as on one of the Thursdays to actually speak to other SMEs and entrepreneurs.
Did you hear
there.
That, Sean?
Sorted. We will do this.
Thanks,
we'll book you up in August.
Awesome. No, definitely. So now, I know you are a business simulation expert, and you had an opportunity to go stay in the States and work in the States for many years. That's where you actually got exposed to business simulation. I try to build a show in such a way that there's able to become network among my guests.
Yes.
That's why I know that what you do, it's definitely something of value with what Sean is already doing.
Yes.
Do you want to perhaps tell us? I know Bulelani just came in. Bulelani, do you know what business simulation is, my brother?
Answer, Bulelani.
There's a mic. There's a mic.
Nah, not at all.
Yeah, no, definitely. That is my co-host. I don't know what's wrong with his voice. And now he's affecting Sean, because Sean is starting to cough as well. Brian, what is business simulation?
So I'll give you a simple answer, not trying to be academic. A simulation is any real life experience that you are practicing in a fictitious environment. So let's take, for example, people who go to a work for call centers. Before they actually speak to a real person who's a customer, they have a simulation, a role play of sort. That is a simulation. Now, in business, what we then do, because it's, business is not so simple, there's lots of factors at play. We create either electronically, so it can be an electronic game, or we can build it into a board game. Like if you've seen games like Monopoly, Monopoly is a sort of a business simulation in real estate. It teaches you how to sell property, how to rent, and to think about those mechanics. So that's what a simulation is. A simulation is anything that you do that represents real life and allows you to practice in a safe environment. And why I say so is, even though I have an interest in selling business simulations, for entrepreneurs, I always teach that they should create simulated experiences for themselves. So if you want to practice how to sell, get one garment and sell it to the first person who comes up to you. That is a simulation. It's in a safe environment, in a sense that even if you fail, it's not a catastrophic disaster that you didn't sell. So that's what simulations are. We obviously focus on the ones that are programmed and are built so that someone can be immersed in an industry or a particular business. Mm.
But for me, I mean, Brian, I know you to be a consultant for corporate. I mean, if ever for companies like GrowthPoint that would say we want a simulation, I would understand.
Mm.
But now you taking that and you bring it into an SME space or an SME element, how effective is this business simulation though for enterprises?
Personally, I think SMEs not only need it more, but have immediate application of the simulation. Sometimes we teach people who work for corporates.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you show them all these different aspects of a business, but they work in a particular functional area in their real job. So when they come out there, they had a great experience, but they can't go out and implement everything. But I'm sure if I taught any of these SMEs here, and I said there's an element of finance, there's operations, there's marketing, there's sales, there's HR, all those things are alive in their businesses today, and they've got challenges within them today. So SMEs are able to use simulations in a much better way to corporates, I think.
Sean,
I think
so?
You know what I like about simulations? So for me, it's about simulations is about real case studies and real life scenarios for businesses. So if you think about entrepreneurship, we always speak about the successful guys that are entrepreneurs that used to sit around the dinner table and speak to their parents about business or get exposed to it. And many of us have not had that opportunity. So business simulation actually gives you that opportunity.
Yes.
It gives you the ability to, like you say, Brian, fail in a safe environment. Because in our work with businesses, we realize that a lot of the challenges that they face is the first time that they're facing these challenges.
Yes.
And they don't know how to necessarily navigate the space. And that's where it's so key to have programs like what you're doing and advisors that's going to be able to direct businesses in the right way. Because this is first generation businesses, a lot of the SMEs that we're working with.
Yes.
No other exposure and experience. So it's either make or break at this point in time.
Yeah. No, Sean and Brian have never met each other. They're already endorsing each other.
We met once.
And we're going to potentially also do some stuff together already, other than the session. So Brian's got a little nice pin on his lapel over there.
Yeah.
It's a nice product called Growth Wheel, and I'm sure Brian will be able to share with what that is all about.
Oh.
And as Property Point, we're going to be trying to use this tool as well with the work we're doing with businesses.
Oh, okay. No, definitely. I want to hear more about that. But before then, let me come into to Anita. Anita, you were a columnist.
I was.
And being a columnist, you move from that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, columnists, they're like mini celebrities. And, you know, they're content driven.
Yeah.
But how do you move from that to go and create Biltong, though? You know?
I think when corporate is not for you, it's not for you. So it literally took me 2 years of plotting my way out.
Is it?
So eventually, and you know, one thing I learned back in business school is that food business was good business. I don't know how good that is, but I then thought, what business can I then do? And then Biltong being my favorite snack, then, you know, I went for Biltong.
It's interesting. So you went to business school?
I did.
Is it?
Yeah.
Which one?
Wits.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you were taught business.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Rona, we started business, Bulelani, and we and we just threw ourselves in there. People went to business school. And I mean, I wouldn't have thought business of Biltong, though.
Yeah.
How's the business going?
It's going good because I think biltong, it's not a seasonal snack. You can have it any day, any season. Mm-hmm. So it's been good.
Did you bring any?
Unfortunately not.
No, you should. You should be ashamed. You're supposed to be selling.
No, yeah. But maybe you guys should visit my shop.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean it's been a good 9 months because we went on a 9th month now.
Yeah.
So, and there's growth to a point where I was sitting with Brian the other day. I'm thinking of production now. So I even want to move the business to the Northwest for a production house.
Mm.
So that is how good it has been.
Okay. So for me, I follow you on social media. And on Instagram, you're quite, I don't know whether you take the pictures. Or whatever, got the element of columnist, it's still inside of you because your social media is very content driven.
Yeah,
is that something that you do on the side, or is it that just the person that you're following?
Well, I do a number of things. I'm hugely involved in fashion and styling as well.
Mm.
And I just. And I'm black conscious.
Mm.
So I think the content that you're talking about stems from there. Mm. I do fashion, I do styling, I do my biltong, and myself and my business partners have also recently just met, launched a media company that is also promisingly doing good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of fashion, I love looking good. So you say this is my brand too. You say one day so popa, it means one day we'll achieve. So and
so popa.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So and I know definitely Sean loves looking good.
He is looking good today. I can't say the same about you.
And excuse us.
But it's
his
brand.
Yeah.
No, you know. Yeah.
Make sure you can come to my next function and sell both.
Maxine, you are in fashion.
Yes, I am.
Did you go to school as well?
No, I didn't go to school for fashion.
Okay.
I think it's just in me. Like, I've got an eye for beautiful clothes.
Mm-hmm.
I love fashion so much. So I'm also in corporate currently, but I do this as well, FSDV.
Okay.
And one day I woke up and I was like, you know what? I really enjoy fashion. Why can't I do what I love?
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I started Fashion Scoop. And then what I did was I woke up, I sourced some clothes, I put them online, and it went so well. Then I was like, well, I can do this.
Okay.
And yeah, I love doing it. I love looking good every day, and I love fashion so much.
Is it? Bulelani, please take this mic. You know, for me, Bulelani, okay.
Yeah.
This one relates to Bradley. Bradley, you're going to come say hi to our listeners. Bradley is a fashion stylist. No?
And for, why me?
Eh?
Why
so, because Bulelani, generally, you can just pull Sean's mic. But generally, I love dressing up. Yeah. If you follow me on social media, I'm always on my suits.
Yeah.
So I used to always come here in my suits. Bulelani used to always come here in shorts, track pants, and stuff.
I still do.
So, so all of a sudden, Bulelani has changed. Bulelani comes wearing suits. Now he's got
looking
interest in, you know, and once. So Bulelani, maybe do you want to tell us why the setting changed?
I don't think there's any change. I think my comfortable life is wearing shorts and track pants, of which I go to meetings with, because I'm that confident. I'm kidding.
Oh.
Nah, man. I'm comfortable in that clothes, so it's very hard to do what he does. Because I mean, I think I own 2-3 suits, and he's got so many. But I mean, I haven't yet broken out of that. I mean, clothes are like the last thing for me. Looking good is the last thing for me.
Mm.
I believe in delivering on services. Service deliver.
Okay, Bradley, do you want to say hi to us and tell us what you do?
Hi there, listeners. I'm Bradley. I'm actually in retail, and then I'm also in the fashion front as well.
Mm.
And then I also do celebrity styling as well.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
So, Bradley, the reason I brought you in, we're talking business simulation.
Mm.
So, Brian spoke of, scenarios that you need to put in terms of business and this and this. And Sean endorsed him and said, business simulation we need and this and this and that. And Sean, obviously you heard that their focus is improvement and growing of SMEs. Generally, fashion, it's something that I hold highly. I believe that I dress according to how you want to be addressed.
Mm.
So, and there comes Bulelani that comes to a meeting with wearing shorts and focus about service delivery, you know. So I want to hear your opinion from the stylist perspective. Do you think how important is fashion as far as simulation is concerned, or as far as business is concerned? Is it something that needs to be factored in their planning when they're dealing with us entrepreneurs, or is just something that an entrepreneur needs to focus on? Because for me, when I looked at Anita, looking on stylish and corporate, I was like, okay, she's getting dressed according to how she wants to address. But when you hear what she does, you know, and how she gets dresses, you know, don't you think, you know, for somebody else, who I wouldn't expect she would be dressed the way she does, but that's her everyday thing.
I actually think that it's very important as a business to sort of like represent who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I do also like think that it varies like from time to time. Like, for instance, if I'm in construction and I'm on the site, I'm obviously going to be dressing like however I want to, you know what I'm saying? In my track pants, I pull a line, like activist EDC.
Yeah.
But obviously also, I think that if you want to sort of like pre-sweeten the deal, it is very important for you to look the part for them to sort of like already like place you. Mm-hmm. And it's already like, okay, fine, he already has the deal, he already has the endorsement, you know, because that is very important, you know. And we may not actually like look at it in that way, but we are human beings and we have eyes and they love feasting, right? So if you actually give the right kind of snack, Anita's Biltong, for instance, if you give the right kind of snack, you will be getting a close to what you anticipated in that business deal, in that conversation, in whatever you are dealing with. So I really do think that how you present yourself is sort of positioning yourself.
Yeah. Okay. Now, Sean, take the mic. Gotta, you have something to say, Maxine.
Sean is the problem here.
If it wasn't dressing this good, it would not have gotten to me. Sean.
No, Sean is not a problem. He's actually quite right. Because, you know, once you walk in the room, what's the first thing you look at?
Mm.
It's how you present yourself and you're appealing. So
I've been looking good. Sean has not been looking at
is it Sean, why not?
So I think what Bradley said was actually spot on. So one of the key things that we look at Property Point is that we're saying people still do business with people. So the impression that you give someone when you're engaging is key. So you know, like you said, it's the first impression is what you see. I had a meeting this morning with a construction business, Letty from Integrico. She's running a multi-million rand business. She was looking good. She was looking good. We've got one of our other plumber businesses that we used to have on our program, Bonge. And she was a qualified plumber, but she had these long red nails. And it became a trademark in terms of how we almost styled her business to set her aside from a male-dominated environment. Because you also need to be comfortable with who you are. You can't try and change specifically to the audience, but it must be appropriate. You must be able to deliver. Service delivery is key. And you need to be able to do the right thing.
Yeah.
And your personal brand then starts to work for you as well.
Mm. So, I mean, Sean, you've spoken of the two major businesses that you've dealt with, or that one you had a meeting with this morning. I mean, most businesses fail in their first 3 years. I mean, what do you think could be the contributing factor to this? And how can we avoid making these mistakes in our enterprises? I mean, we are business people in studio.
Yeah.
You know, Anita is 9 months old. He's five. How old are you?
10 and a half years.
Mm-hmm. And I'm more. And, you know, we come with different years. But with some of these businesses, you know what? There's a majority of failures within the first 3 years. How do you think that can be avoided?
I think that failure necessarily shouldn't be avoided in business. I think the reason why we have such a high failure rate in the first 3 years is that, especially when guys go into a new industry, if they're not grounded in the industry, there's a lot of still learnings that they need to take place. But also within the first 3 years is really when you start having growth and escalated growth. If you don't have the proper systems and structures in place to be able to support that growth, you're going to fail. Because ultimately a business is not just about that one person trying to run something out of a shoebox. It's about being able to say, okay, am I hiring the right people? Have I got the proper processes in place and systems in place? But typically what we've done is we've only taken businesses that have been operating for about 2 years. Because I think the key thing for us, specifically in the South African market, is that have you been able to hustle for 2 years? Have you been able to really learn certain key lessons? That's why failure is not a negative thing. But are you learning through that process? we don't necessarily have an environment that, that allows failure, because if people fail, yeah, you know, it's like livelihoods.
Mm.
But we encourage guys that, that have tried and gone on with their businesses to then join us, because at the 2 year post stage, that's where the biggest challenges come into play.
Mm.
And then when that's when we can work with the business in terms of putting the processes and systems in place, creating the opportunities for growth in terms of a growth strategy, looking at the hiring of resources. Are they, as an entrepreneur, having the right competencies in place as well to deliver, whether it's from a sales perspective or an operational perspective? So that really being able to delve deeper into that business, because not even business school really teaches you, Anita, I would say, about business. It's just like, it's that you need to be in it. Then the theory comes running.
No, let's go to the lecturer with the point that you just made. Mr. Smedana, how important or why do you think it's important for enterprises to be knowledgeable and ahead with innovative ideas?
By default, entrepreneurs will always be innovative in a way. So I took on this challenge of dealing with creatives, and I was amazed. A simple thing, because I'm an accountant, so this is fine. Blue jacket, it's okay. But they look at it like something that is completely out there, because they're trying to solve problems that are not only physical things. It's emotional, social things. But I have always felt as if, because I also coach businesses, and Sean spoke earlier on about the company Growth Wheel, which is a company of business advisors. It has a platform that is amazing for business advisors to allow them to coach people. And what I have found is most entrepreneurs are so deep into the idea of the business. And yes, it's true. Attractive business concept is the most important thing. But we have to be able to gather knowledge to have good customer relationships, to be able to have profitable operations and build strong organizations. So, and that's what tools like Growth will assist entrepreneurs to be able to do. To say, you cannot just rely on the idea. You have to rely, you have to build a skill. You have to work on your willingness and your motivation and execution. And then companies like Sean's one will then assist to create an enabling environment around you. But most entrepreneurs are stuck on, I have this idea and I'm an expert at it.
Mm.
But go and learn. Go and learn about, I had to learn about marketing. I tell people, do you know how many semesters of marketing most accounting honors people had? Two in their first years. And that's all we knew. So the most we knew was 5 marketing P's and that was it. But it's in 2017 where there's social media, there's alternative ways of marketing your company.
Mm.
And even I had to learn such things. So we have to be, we have to immerse ourselves in that learning, whether it's through failing, but failing is undesirable. Like Sean said, you've got real lives behind the failure. You've got real lives. And I always try and tell entrepreneurs that your failure has such far-reaching implications. For example, if I fail, my daughter can't go to school. The house is not paid. Oh, well, I've got my wife who can assist. But, I mean, it creates an environment that's just undesirable.
Yeah. No, you said something very interesting that I want to ask the lady. But maybe do you want to take this opportunity to introduce yourself? Tell us who you are and what is that you do?
Hi, everyone.
You can lift the mic.
Oh,
yeah.
Hi, thank you so much for having us on the show. My name is Lindy Wei. I'm part of FSDV, as Maxine mentioned before. We are a styling, personal styling, image consulting, fashion designing company. And what I basically do is organize all the pop-up shops that we'll have one of them on the 3rd of June at Jerry's Coffee Shop in Rheinfeld. I also do the personal styling. I also do the ordering of the merchandise that we sell. I'm also part of the social media. I'm basically the one who does all the advertisements, and because we have a Facebook page as well as an Instagram page where we advertise all our fashion items.
Okay. Mr. Smelani said you can't rely only on ideas. So largely what you do works around ideas.
Yes.
You know, and he says you must learn more. So I know that entrepreneurs are, you know, it's people that shy away from learning. We think we don't know it right and we do it right and whatsoever. So how is you as a small business, you know, empower yourself in terms of not relying only on ideas, or do you not agree with him?
No, I do agree with him. I think in order for you to grow as a business, learning is an ongoing process.
Mm-hmm.
If you do not learn anything, then you do not become better as a business.
How are you continuously learning?
Well, we are continuously learning by staying up to date with the most recent, the most relevant styles, because that, in order for us to know what we should buy for or what we should sell to our consumers,
mm-hmm.
we need to know what is in, what do they like.
In terms of trends?
Yes.
Okay.
In terms of preferences. Mm. I mean, if you're not up to date with the most recent fashion, then how do you move forward as a brand? I mean, you will be stagnant in one place.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of competitors out there. So that is also how you stand out as a brand, because if you so stuck up with the same old fashion, then obviously your customers will go elsewhere. So
Anita, are you continuously learning?
I am. I try to read as much as I can.
Okay.
But also I have that problem. I think in January I bought 6 books at once,
mm-hmm.
and I read each of them half. So
I know I've got that sickness too.
So yeah, I'm constantly trying to read,
mm-hmm.
And also just my circles, you know, mm-hmm. being in circles that, you know, push you to do more and be more.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. I think that's me.
No, okay. Yeah. Maxine, your sister said you guys are having a fashion pop-up. Do you want to quickly tell us more about that?
Yes, we're actually having a fashion pop-up on the 3rd of June,
mm-hmm.
at Jerry's Cafe in Benoni, number 129 Pretoria Road.
Okay.
There we're going to showcasing our brand, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the few items will be on sale so that people can come through. We're going to have coffee, we're going to have snacks, and yeah, it's going to be a great day. Yes, hopefully some of Anita's biltong, yes.
Most definitely.
Yeah, you can bring your biltong, because I think we're going to have a couple of people who are there, because it's not only us, so other people, other entrepreneurs also, they'll be showcasing their stuff on the day. So it's going to be
I'm pre-arranging. Anita is going to be there.
Yes.
She not only with her biltong, but with her fashion interest.
Yeah,
and
no
Bradley
problem.
Bradley is going to be there.
We can learn from each other. It's good to learn. Yeah. So Anita might know something I don't know.
Okay.
I'll learn
from
Anita.
If I'm making the commitment to come with my biltong, mm-hmm. Please also make the commitment to dress me for Fashion Week.
Most definitely.
We're going to be closing deals in this studio. No, definitely.
We should also get dressed.
Yeah, no, we should, eh? Yeah, no, definitely. We must find an event. Where's the next event coming? When is it happening? We'll let you know, though.
I also just want to mention something quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So this brand, FSDV, so it's not only about us, because what we want to do in future is we want to have Ekurhuleni fashion show. As you know, like Soweto have their own fashion show. Ekurhuleni has nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
So what we want to do in future, we want to invite other fashion designers, upcoming fashion designers, mm-hmm. showcase their brand,
mm-hmm.
and just have that activity in the East Rand, because we have nothing like that.
Have
at
you
the
approached
moment.
The municipality though?
We haven't yet. We're working on that. So we are going to approach.
I'll put you in contact with some people there.
Oh, thank you so much.
I've got a good name.
We had the right place.
So for people that want to come to the event, where can they get more information?
Okay. So we on Instagram. Instagram is FSD Styles. And then we also on Facebook. So you can find us on Facebook. We are Fashion Scoop. Actually, we haven't changed the name. So we Fashion Scoop. And you also can catch us on Deja Vu. Mm-hmm. So on Instagram, it's at Deja Vu.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we've been promoting on those pages. So that's where you can get us. Yeah. And you can also to RSVP, you can WhatsApp me on 082-330-2878, because we're going to have limited seats for the show.
Give us the number again.
It's 082-330-2872. For the pop-up shop is open for everyone, but when we for the showcasing of the garments, we're gonna have limited seats, so you have to book your seat.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, it's fine. In the midst of you and your limited seats, our seat has got to be reserved.
Yeah, of course.
So, no, definitely.
All right.
Sean, tell me, why is it important that private sector invest and support SMEs? You know, as I ask that question, I want to do something with Palisa. And I know you've got some burning questions, my man, for for all of a sudden the voice goes. Oh, is it? Oh, okay. No, it's fine. Sean?
I think Cezanne also mentioned it in the beginning. So I think as a corporate, we have a responsibility. We operate within this environment, within South Africa. And you need to be able to understand who you're working with. We work with our suppliers. We work with people that we do business with. And by investing in these businesses, we are able to invest back into our supply chain, basically. Because that value add that they are able to bring to their business gets fed back into our business. So there's a responsibility, but also you need to be strategic in how you're going to be investing in small businesses. You know, I think that as small businesses, yeah, you can pick any program out there. There's so much training out there. But if that training is not going to result in you being able to access opportunities for you to grow your business, it becomes futile. So the aim is really to say, is it strategically aligned? Is the program like Property Point is strategically aligned to the supply chain of the property industry? So we've been able to create those market opportunities and linkages. Just like you, a door opener, Teboho, that's what we do. We create a door opener. It doesn't mean businesses are guaranteed to get opportunities, but it gives them a platform to be able to go and pitch their business where they would not have previously been able to do. And we've got the successes to be able to prove that it has worked.
No, definitely. So would you say, though, are SMEs taking enough taking advantage of these opportunities, though?
I think SMMEs are definitely, they need to strategically take advantage of the opportunity, because you as a business don't want to be caught up in training programs all over the place. You need to be able to say, okay, does this resonate with me as a brand? Does this provide me with the opportunities in terms of connections, market access, or knowledge within the industry that I'm operating in? Is this strategic to what I want to do in terms of the future of my business? And will I be able to benefit from it? I don't want to waste my time attending training programs. I want to be able to go, learn, apply, and make deals. Get access.
No, definitely. Mr. Smelani, we're learning, we apply, and we make deals. I know that for me, he runs you know, a brand agency. Intembisa, you know, focusing on brands that want to be in touch with the township and internship entrepreneurship as a whole, and for me as well, doing having the transition, I know that at some point we were in the same problem, that we did a lot of government work, and the transition from government to private, sometimes it was a struggle that government would give an opportunity, let's say, to do a 12 million, 15 million job.
Yes.
Whereas when you get to private, it's a very close circle, where, you know what, they used to working with Anita, they used to working with so-and-so. So for them to break into that circle, it becomes a challenge for small business. You know, what would your advice be to entrepreneurs that are struggling to break that ice?
I suppose to some extent, okay, there's lots of things you can do. I'll give you three.
Yeah, please do.
The first
one. Because I'm running out of time.
the first one is give yourself the opportunity. So go in there and say, I will do it, even if you have to do it for free. I think my first class at Vets, I had to do for free. Because you must realize in corporate, the risk of failure is too high for them. So they will not give you the opportunity. So that's the first thing is walk in there, try, force the opportunity. Okay. The second one, there's some administrative things you can do, like get on their supplier network. Even if you are not a preferred supplier yet or an accredited supplier, get on that database, because if you are not there, then you're definitely not in the right place. And the third one is companies always know where to get the suppliers. So when it comes to networking, be where your customers are. So if you're in supply chain and they go to a SAPIX conference, as an example, you have to go to Sun City and be there to meet your customers. And that mindset, even though I'm using it for corporate, is the same whether even for individuals. You are in branding, you know, you have to meet your customers where they are. But first one, force the opportunity. Yeah. Second one, use the simple things, register, and then meet them where they are.
No, definitely. Quickly, for people that want to get more information about what you do, where can they get a hold of you?
www.learningsims.co.za, or you can get me on Twitter at Brian Simelane.
Okay. Sean, people that want to know about Property Point?
Yes, website is www.propertypoint.org.za.
Mm-hmm.
Twitter is at Sean Tiennison or at Prop Point.
Okay. Anita?
I am Anita Black on Twitter. I am Anita Black on Instagram.
Okay. Anita, tell me, Black, is it your surname?
Why are we touching that?
Okay, no, I'm going to bring you back. I think we're going to have that discussion. You've already given us the information, but thank you a lot for joining us today. I'm looking forward to having you guys again next time, on the show when we're discussing many other various things. Now I try by all means to keep a good circle around me that we could actually benefit each other. I really appreciate you guys coming.
Awesome.
Thank you.
No, definitely. And this is all that we had for you today, right here on 360 Biz. If ever you've just tuned in, you missed out on an amazing show, but you can always go to www.cliffcentral.com or download Cliff Central app to actually catch the podcast, to hear some of the great insight that we had. Catch us again next time for another exciting installment of 360 Biz. My name is Debo Mafodi and Bulelani Balabala. We are out.
CliffCentral.com.